Jump in. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace, and we ask you for grace and help in our time of need. Every day, you are faithful. Faithful God, to strengthen us. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for your great faithfulness, your mercy, your goodness, that you continue to guide us and to lead us and direct us in life. You're with us always. Your presence is upon us. We thank you, Father, for such a great salvation that you've provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for this word that you have for us this morning. We look to you, Holy Spirit, as our teacher, as our guide, our counselor. Counsel us, teach us. Open the scriptures to us. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and your word. We thank you, Father, for grace deposits and truth impartations, truth that makes us free. We thank you for freedom today. We thank you for fruit today. We thank you that Jesus Christ will be high and lifted up in everything that we do and say. We love you, Father. It is such a privilege to be here as a church, as a body of Christ. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. You've heard that scripture in the Bible that talks about a word in due season. Lower? How's that? A little higher? Right there? Is that the sweet spot? Okay. Good. Excellent. Thank you, Cameron. God is so good. So, you've heard about a word in due season, right? And, you know, what is that talking about? Is that in life, we all go through seasons. And what season are we in right now? Winter. Will it forever be winter? Nope. Hallelujah. I know the people in, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, they're probably saying, thank you, Lord, this is temporary. This Arctic vortex will pass. And grass, things that are green will return. Life will return. And, you know, that's something that we can always, you know, help us go through hard times in life, is knowing that things are temporary in this life and that there are seasons. And, you know, with each season in life, God has a word for us. He has a word for you and he has a word for me to help us through those seasons. And one of the wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit is that he will show us things to come. And God is a God of preparation. He prepares things. He prepares a table before us in the midst of our enemies. Amen. He prepared everything before the foundations of the world concerning a salvation for us from sin. I mean, God is a master of preparing, doing things in advance for the future. And so a word that I feel like as I was praying this week concerning this message was the need to persevere. The need to persevere. It seems like the Holy Spirit is sort of, ministering this theme to us as a church body about overcoming, about being victorious, and to be more than a conqueror. And we know these scriptures to be true. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now these are promises, these are realities, these are truths. But for us as Christians, one of the greatest challenges or tests is to persevere. Is to don't quit, don't stop, don't give up. Keep on going, moving forward, not backwards. We'll start with our text in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, or your electronic devices. I don't think I'll ever use an electronic device. I just love having a Bible in front of me. That's just me, but hey. Maybe I'm just old school. Though I do love using my electronic device to Google or search things that I'm looking for. That is a big help, having kind of like a concordance right there that you can find things. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light. In other words, when you got saved. Remember when you got born again. When you stood your ground. Say, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Well, that reminds me of Ephesians 6:10, doesn't it? Having done all to stand, stand. When we put on the full armor of God. Or when the children of Israel were at the Red Sea, and the Lord said through Moses, stand and see the salvation of your God. And so there's a lot to be said for standing. Standing. Stand your ground. In a great contest in the face of suffering. A great contest in this life. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. As Pastor was sharing earlier, as Jesus said, in this world you will face many hardships and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them all. Again, we're not talking about things that Jesus redeemed us from. He's redeemed us from the curse of sickness and disease. He's not talking about suffering for things that Jesus suffered for us in our stead. No, he's talking about suffering persecution, resistance, the enemy trying to stop you, slow you down, get you to quit, get you to give up, get you to stop. That's what we're talking about. That kind of suffering, that kind of contest, that kind of resistance. So the enemy will try anything in his disposal to get us out of the race. You sympathize with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Imagine that. The government coming. Oh, you're a Christian? We're seizing your house. We're taking your car. And we're emptying your bank account. That happens in the world today. In other countries. That is suffering. That's a contest. That's a trial. That's a test. And why is the enemy doing that? Because he's trying to make us make a choice to choose God or this life. But Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will gain it and eternal life as well. Because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So verse 35. So, in light of that, do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away your faith in God. Don't say it's too hard to serve Jesus. It's too hard to serve God. The resistance, the cost is too high. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God will richly reward your endurance, your perseverance, your faith? You not quitting or giving up? Absolutely. It will be not just rewarded, richly rewarded. I love what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. It says, I don't consider our present sufferings worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. These light and momentary afflictions, they're light and they're momentary. Now, the enemy would like to put in your mind that this is going to last forever. No, what's going to last forever is when he's cast in the lake of fire. That will last forever. But what we're going through today is temporary. It's short compared to eternity. And so we want to keep the right perspective. That's reality, not what the enemy tries to paint. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, what's the will of God? To serve your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. When you've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. Faith. We were singing that, weren't we? It is a walk by faith. Satan is testing and trying our faith, which is more precious than gold, and will result in glory and honor and praise to God when He returns, because we stood in the face of opposition, persecution, resistance. We stood. We didn't quit. We didn't stop. We didn't go backwards. We kept moving forward. And if He shrinks back, remember we talked about stand, right? Having stand your ground. What does shrink back mean? It means going backwards, falling away, backsliding, going into what you did before. That's what the enemy wants to do. Now, how does he do that? He pushes you. He's trying to do this, to push you back, push you back, push you back, push you back. What are we just supposed to do? Resist the devil. So that means, what does it mean to resist? That means to push back. No, you push back on him and you push him back. He loses territory, not you. He's the one that's going to have to move backwards, not you. We're taking ground. We're moving forward. Where we put our foot, that is our possession. That is to walk by faith, is to always move forward in the perfect will of God. What is God's will for your life? It's in His Word and His what He's spoken to your heart to do. And we do it by faith. And when the resistance comes and we push back, that builds strength, character, and maturity. But we are not those, verse 39, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. Retreat is not an option. I'm not convinced. Is it or is it not an option? Thank you. It is not an option. To retreat is not an option. To go back is not an option. And why would we want to go back to the pig slop? That's what, you know, 2 Peter 2 calls it, dog's vomit and pig slop. That's what the world has to offer. But at the time when you're being squeezed and the pressure is on, it seems like a viable option. Because the hope is that if I let up and I go back, the pressure will lift off. And I can somehow have some sort of a truce with the enemy. There is no truce that Satan will keep. If whatever ground you give him, he'll demand more. And he'll push you back further and further. And he won't stop until he pushes you right back into the grave. There is no going back. Is going forward. That is why the Lord, when He took the children of Israel through the Dead Sea, He didn't take them around because there would have been a retreat. He took them through the Dead Sea because there is no going back where you came from. Hallelujah. Amen. Not that you'd want to. Would you want to go back to bondage? No. Would you want to go back to slavery, to sin and death? No, thank you. But in this life, we need to persevere. There's some different translations I like of verse 35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Cast not away, therefore, your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it has glorious and great reward. So do not throw away that courage of yours, which carries with it such a great reward. And finally, so do not throw away your bold faith. It will bring you rich rewards. So notice what it's saying here. It says, do not cast away or do not throw away. Who's doing the throwing away? Is God throwing in the towel? Is God giving up? Is God quitting? Is God saying, this is too hard? This is costing me too much? No. It's saying, you, me, us. God will never quit on you. God will never give up on you. No matter how many mistakes I or you make, he will never fail. His faithfulness is new every morning. So never let that be an excuse. Well, I make too many mistakes. I mess up too much. Really? Is that a problem with our God? No. And really, it's relative, isn't it? I mean, we think, well, that's a lot of mistakes. If Jesus bore all the sin of the world, he's able to carry you and me through every challenge and test and trial that we have. Every single one of them. Webster's dictionary defines persevere is to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty, failure, opposition, or delay, even with little or no prospect of success. Now, we've got something better than that definition. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's promise will never fail. So yes, it may be hard, it may be a challenge, it may be a contest, it may be a test, but God will 100% fulfill his promise. You know, in the world, they can only, you know, worldly hope, wish that it will come to pass if they pay the price. But there's no guarantee. With our God, there is a guarantee. Amen. There is a guarantee of heaven. There is a guarantee of glory. There is a guarantee. It's worth it. It's worth it to serve God. It's worth it to walk by faith. Amen. We have a blessed assurance and a glorious hope. Now, the Greek word for persevere means to cheerfully or joyfully in hope endure and continue in patience. Now, when you hear the word persevere, there's a right way and a wrong way to persevere. The wrong way to persevere would be to grumble and complain and whine and gripe and say, woe is me, how can this happen to me? It's not fair. Why doesn't the devil pick on somebody else? Surely he's got bigger fish to fry. That wouldn't be the right way to persevere, would you agree? Remember Paul and Silas when they were in the Philippian jail? I mean, they were just preaching the gospel. They were just obeying God. And what did they get for their trouble of casting a demon out of a servant, a slave girl who predicted the future? They were beaten severely and thrown in prison and placed in stocks. But what was their response? Praise. They praised the Lord. They rejoiced. How can you have joy in the midst of your darkest trial, test, and temptation? Oh, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes within us and fills us with a supernatural joy. There is nothing from a circumstantial standpoint to rejoice about. There's nothing in the natural that we should be happy about. But there is this conviction from God. The Holy Spirit gives us this unexplainable joy. Happiness is just favorable circumstances. Joy is a supernatural force from God that puts us over every circumstance of life. Joy. Full of joy. So to cheerfully and rejoice in the hope by endurance. It means to persist in, remain constant, to hold the course in the face of difficulty. To be persistent, to remain constant, and to hold your course. The enemy is trying to get us to change course. Our course is to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the enemy is trying to buff us from either side to get us off course. He's not going to do it in the name of Jesus. Now, if you look at the word persevere, there are two components to this word. Per and severe. The prefix per is a preposition, means through or according to. In the root word severe means intense hardship, discomfort, and unsettling circumstances. Ever had those? So to persevere means to make it through hard times and come out on the other side. To persevere through the end, to endure and be patient through faith and patience. Without casting or throwing away our confidence, giving up or quitting. That's character. You ever heard the term fair weather friends? What are fair weather friends? That means when the weather is fair, you have lots of friends. That means when everything's going great, they're there. But when things become difficult or challenging, they're not there. And so, aren't you glad that when you're going through any storm in life, Jesus is in the boat with you? And Jesus set the precedent, doesn't he? Didn't he? What do you do in a storm? You go to sleep on a pillow. That's the precedent that he set. That's what we do. We what? We rest. We rest. As in Psalms 91 says, he gives his angels charge over us. He surrounds us with songs of deliverance. Woo! Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So when the enemy pushes, we push back. We are not a doormat for the devil. We go on the offensive, not the defensive. We press through. That's what biblical perseverance is. It's not just to suffer for the sake of suffering. There's no virtue in that. But when you overcome through faith in God's word and say, it is written, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that is the victory that God wants to see in our life. That's biblical perseverance. It's not just to take it, it's to overcome it. That's the difference. The world may take it, but as Christians, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers in him. Overcome it through faith in his word. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm or steadfast in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. Now notice that in verse 6, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And then it proceeds to talk about how Satan, as a roaring lion, is looking for someone to devour. Notice that he can't just devour anyone. For Christians, he has no right or authority unless we open the door. So what door does the devil like to use in Christians' lives in order to devour them? One word, fear. Fear. Which is another word for anxiety, worry, concern. Fear is faith in the devil. Fear is faith in what he can do to destroy your life. Oh my, what are we going to do now? That is faith in the enemy. Because if we have faith in God, devil, you can't touch me. 1 John 5 says, he who is born of God, God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot touch him.
So we're not going to have faith in the devil through fear. That's why the Bible says here, cast all your anxiety, all your fear. That's the only weapon he has against Christians. It's called the power of suggestion. And it comes in the form of, what if? What if you don't get that money in time? What if something bad happens to you on your way to church? What if? What if? What if? Shut up, devil. In the name of Jesus. For it is written, you give your angels charge over me. Amen. He's right. I love it in the Amplified, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Remember when Jesus calmed the storm and he said to them, oh, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? It's like this. It's like, you know, that, you know, teeter-totter. When we're full of faith, there's no fear. When we're full of fear, there's no faith. You can't have both. You can't be full of faith and full of fear at the same time. It's one or the other, or, you know, a combination or mixture of the two. How many times, I mean, just do it, you know, just, you can Google it, but how many times does the Bible say, fear not? A gazillion times, if I could use that word. Many, many, many times. Why? Because fear opens the door to the enemy. And so we need to resist fear like we resist the devil. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and the sound mind. We resist fear with the word in the name of Jesus. Fear is the only weapon that Satan has to deceive God's children. My brothers and sisters, it is never okay to worry about anything. Philippians 4, it says that. It says, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. It is never okay to worry. Yeah, but I'm being a responsible parent. I'm worrying about my kids. How did that work for Job when he worried about his kids? What he feared came upon him. What he dreaded happened to him. Fear, worry, anxiety, it has no place. It's contraband to the Christian. It's illegal in heaven. Is there any fear in heaven? What did Jesus say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No fear for you. Amen. It's a temptation. Satan will tempt us to fear. It's a temptation. Because if we give in to fear, we're doubting God. God just isn't big enough for this problem. This one's too hard for the Lord. No, we cannot. There is nothing too big for our God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? All things are possible to them who believe. Oh, easier said than done, Brother Bryce. You don't know what I'm going through. I may not be, but I have flesh and blood. I'm in this world like you are. We all face things in this life. But you know, there's a wonderful promise. No temptation has faced you, except with that which is common to men. But God is faithful, who along with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you can bear up under it. We can never say it was too hard. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's never too hard. God's grace is sufficient for us. Are we tapping into it? Are we taking hold of that grace? Are we seeking the Lord to give us that strength that we need to persevere? Amen. So we, you know, the battle is in the mind. Second Corinthians 10, casting down every high thing, every thought, every vain imagination that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That is where the battleground is taking place. Steadfast in the Lord. Here's another word. Persevere. It's a kissing cousin, if you will, is being steadfast. Steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Woo! Your labor in the Lord, sister, is not in vain. It counts. It counts. It counts. Oh, I love that. Be steadfast, immovable. What does immovable mean? It means immovable. You can't move it. Exactly. That's how we need to be. It's a stubborn faith. I refuse to quit. I will not stop, and I will not give up. And we can do it by God's grace, not in ourselves, but by His grace. If God tells us to stand, He will give us the grace to stand. We go to His throne of grace and obtain grace and help in our time of need. He's there for us. He is there. Jesus said, 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. When I am weak, then I am strong, Paul said. And we can say the same thing. It's not in ourselves, it's in Him, because we are in Him. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Isn't that powerful? Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Does that sound like being steadfast? Yeah. That's God's will for you and for me. As I said, the battle, though, is in the mind, our thought life. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast upon you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. What we do with our minds and our thoughts determines the outcome of the battle. If we dwell on what we see, feel, the circumstances, like Peter, we look at the storm, we will sink. But if we keep our thoughts on Jesus, fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, we will stand. It's what we do with our thoughts. That's why the enemy tries to bring what's called distracting cares to distract us. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? He's trying to get our eyes off of Jesus. That's the strategy. Because if we get our eyes and our thoughts off of Jesus, we will sink. But the good news is, do what Peter does, said, Lord, save me! And the Lord will pull us out of what we get ourselves in. When we get ourselves into trouble, call upon the name of the Lord, and He will pull you out. And bring you back into the boat. And He'll get you to the other side. So what are we learning through all this? We're learning a lot. What we're learning today, we're not going to have the opportunity to learn in heaven. And you're thinking, thank God. I don't know. Why does James 1 say, count it all joy? When you face diverse trials, tests, and temptations, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. We will not have that opportunity in heaven. So get it while the getting's good. Get it while the getting's good. I'm serious. This is a golden opportunity to prove that God's word works. There won't be no trials, tests, and temptations, and resistance when we're in heaven and for eternity thereafter. This is our golden opportunity to show God's faithfulness and to give him praise. Hallelujah. So many people are, I can't wait to get out of here. Well, that's fine, but once you get there, you can't come back. You might say, well, I never want to. Yeah, but what about all those opportunities to develop rewards and develop your faith and maturity and character and do all those things? You will never have to have that opportunity again. This is a wonderful opportunity. It's perspective. Count it all joy. What a great opportunity. You'll never have it again a million years from now. Yeah. That doesn't mean I'm going to look for it, but if it comes, I'm going to thank God. Hallelujah. Here's another opportunity to prove God's faithful. Amen. Yes, thank you, Mr. Devil. You're doing me a great favor. I'm proving that you're a loser and he's Lord. And his word works. Isaiah 26:3 in the Amplified says, You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is both its inclination and its character is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you and leans on you and hopes in you confidently. Through faith and patience, we will inherit the promises. Colossians 1:23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, established and firm, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. To continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved from what you believe. This world system is going to challenge your faith, but it's going to make it stronger instead. What the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn around for good. Make you more than a conqueror. Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's not how we start our race, it's how we finish. Finish strong. Finish strong in the Lord. So how can we build and strengthen our perseverance? Number one, be full of the word. Acts 20:32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified through faith in me. When Jesus overcame the devil, when he was tempted in Luke 4, it was because he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The word of God is the sword of our spirit. When God's word comes out of our mouth, it's a spiritual sword. That is how we do spiritual warfare, is the word in the name of Jesus. Number two, be full of the Holy Ghost. Be full of the Holy Spirit. And what does being full of the Holy Spirit produce? Boldness. Acts 4:31. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God boldly. What enabled Peter and John to be so bold before the religious leaders and say, we must obey God rather than men? It's because they were full of the Holy Spirit. It gives us boldness. It gives us power. It gives us strength to overcome whatever the enemy throws at us. So pray in tongues a lot. Every day. I love praying in tongues when I'm in my car. When I'm alone, I'm always praying in tongues in my car. And, you know, it takes me 45 minutes to get to work. That's 45 minutes of worshiping God and praying in other tongues. There and back. Take every opportunity to pray, to build yourself up. That's in Jude 20. It says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So being full of the Holy Spirit will help us endure and have perseverance and be steadfast and to finish our race. Number three, full of joy. Full of joy. Woo! You know, joy is the note of victory. You can't be sad and full of joy at the same time. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope on God. I will rejoice in my God and my Savior, the psalmist said. Psalms 126 says, when the Lord brought the captives back to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it will be said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Nehemiah 8:10, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice in the Lord. Does it have anything to do with our feelings? No. Joy is a fruit of your spirit, not your body. Joy, let me say that again. Joy is a fruit of your spirit, not your flesh. You will get no joy from your flesh. There is no joy that comes out of your body. None. It's spiritual. It comes out of your spirit. Yeah, it can resonate in your flesh, but it originates in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Oh, amen. And the fourth one, fellowship with the saints. Hebrews 10:25, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Right? As some are in the habit of doing. Isn't it funny you said they had that same problem back then? Must be a human nature thing. But yet, why do we fellowship? So we can encourage one another. So we can build one another. We can edify one another. We can use our gifts. Again, that gives us strength and grace. Okay, last point here is learn from your mistakes and your failures. Learning from our mistakes and failures. There is such a negativity stigma that is attached to messing up, making mistakes and failures. Yeah, we want to avoid it, but can we learn something from it? Is there something that we can learn from that? You know, growing up spiritually is the same in the natural. No person in the natural is born into this world a full-grown adult. And it's the same spiritually. And what are the characteristics of toddlers and children? They make a lot of mistakes. Well, do we chide them for that? I mean, we correct them and we help them, but they are to learn through their mistakes. Does that stop when you get to 18? Once you become an adult, then, you know, no, I still learn from my mistakes. Do you? Absolutely. You never stop. So don't beat yourself up. There's no condemning sentence in Christ. If we miss it, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We repent from that, but we learn from it. Don't let it be a total loss. You can glean something from those things. Don't do that again that way. That doesn't work. God is there to comfort us and to encourage us. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own son and children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. When your three-year-old is trying to learn, or two-year-old is trying to learn how to walk, or one, whatever it is, and they fall down, you don't, like, you know, scold them. Says, what's wrong with you? Why'd you fall down? No, we encourage them. We get them up. We brush them off. Try again. That is how God is with us in life. He's not there with this big, you know, thing to want to smack us on. No, he is there to brush us off, wash us in the blood. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. But Lord, this is the 100th or the 99th time. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. You're never a failure until you give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep at it. Even to the rapture. Oh, hallelujah. That's faith. That's faith. That's what it means to persevere. I'm going to leave you with this. This is Thomas Edison. According to Rutgers, here is an exact quote by Edison. I speak without exaggeration when I say that I have constructed 3,000 different theories in connection with the electric light. Each one of them reasonable and apparently to be true. Yet only in two cases did my experiments prove the truth of my theory. My chief difficulty, as perhaps you know, was in constructing the carbon filament, the incandescence of which is the source of the light. 3,000 times. Thousands of times. Actually, this next one is really interesting about the batteries. The Rutgers article also describes another quote by Edison in 1910, his biography, as it relates to Edison's later work on storage batteries, like our, our AA. Yeah. The book quotes Edison's friend and associate Walter S. Mallory said, "I said, isn't it a shame that with the tremendous amount of work you have done, you haven't been able to get any results?" Gee, thanks. Edison turned on him like a flash and with a smile replied, "Results? Why, man, I have gotten lots of results. I know several thousand things that won't work." Amen. Amen. There's some wisdom there. Oh, hallelujah. Last scripture. Revelation 2:26. Remember all the seven letters to the seven churches in the present day Turkey? In each one of them, at the end of each one, he would say to him and her who overcomes. He talks about overcoming. He said, "To him who overcomes and does my will to the end." How many of you want to do God's will to the end? That's my heart. And it doesn't matter if you mess up every day. 1 John 1:9, "I repent," and you go at it again. Just like Thomas Edison, you'll get your breakthrough if you don't quit. You'll get your breakthrough if you don't quit. But if you quit, you'll never know if you would have gotten it. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the encouragement that we have by the Holy Spirit to not quit, to not give up, to get up and keep running our race to win. Yes. And Lord, we know that you're our biggest fan. You're encouraging us. You're brushing us off. You're washing us with the blood and with the word. And you're helping us. You're cheering us on. You're for us. You're not against us. You're helping us. And so we thank you, Lord. If you are with us, then who can be against us? If you're on my side, then I know that I can overcome. It may not happen today or tomorrow or next week, but if I don't quit, if I don't stop, if I keep at it, we'll get there together. We'll get there together because, Lord, you're my shepherd. My brothers and sisters, the Lord wants you to know you're not alone in this. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever it is, you're not alone. Let the Holy Spirit help you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you the strength and the wisdom and the counsel and everything that you need. And you say, "Well, yeah, but I keep messing up." He will forgive you. He loves you. He's for you. He's for you for the long term, eternity. He is committed to your success. He is on your side, and he's provided a great salvation to see you through to the end. So don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw it away. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't ever. Don't ever. He's faithful. Along with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. Seek him, his throne of grace, to find that way of escape. His grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. He knows. He's been tempted in all points, just as you are. He knows what we need to overcome that trial, that test, and temptation, whatever it is. Lean on him. So right now, I just want to encourage all of us, just cast all those cares. Cast all those concerns, all those worries, all those anxieties, all that fear, once and for all, on Him. Perfect, His perfect love drives out all your fear right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive His love. Receive His comfort. Receive His compassion. Receive His great grace right now in your life as you sit there, just like a sponge. Soak it in. Soak it in the name of Jesus. Drink deeply from the well of God's love for you. Drink that living water. Be refreshed. Be strengthened. Be encouraged to persevere, to endure, to be steadfast and to be strong. And to not falter in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, just receive. Receive His grace. Receive His encouragement. You're not alone. He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's with you to the very end of the age. If you've let go of any dreams, if you've let go of anything, the Lord's saying to you right now, pick it up again. Pick it up again. Pick it up again. And go with God. Run your race. Do what He told you to do. He hasn't forgotten about it. You may have. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Take it. For Him, it's not done. You might think it's done, but it's not. Take it up again. Go at it again. Remember, you're never a failure until you give up. Just do it again in Jesus' name. You know what that is. And let God deal with you. Let your Father help you. He's on your side. He loves you. Thank you, Father. There's no shame in failing. The shame is in quitting. Don't quit. Then there's no shame. Get up again, keep running. You fall down, you get up again, and you keep running. You just don't quit. And He's there to cheer you on. Even the great cloud of witnesses in heaven, they're cheering you on. We're cheering you on. We're in this together. We're in this together. Be encouraged. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.